Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish, where we explore the culinary, distillery, and the winery arts in and around the Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, host for your gastronomic tour of the region's amazing food and beverage scene. And I'm here today with Julie and Roger Rockhill from Stone Farm Cellars and Vineyard. It's a winery with locations just over the mountain east of Emmaus, and now a tasting room in downtown Easton on Center Square. So, Julie and Roger, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Thank you.
Thanks for the invite.
All right. And how'd you get started in winemaking?
Oh, geez, I guess about 15 years ago. So I started out just kind of experimenting with fermentation, and I was making fermented hot sauces. And from there, I did my own canning, my own salsa, and then I was really interested in mead. So I had a bunch of little booze babies that I created of all my mead, and it was just fascinating to watch the fermentation process. And then from there, I got into the fruit wines and got into just doing more like making like apple wine and raspberry, blueberry, all kinds of different fruit wines. And that's about the time that Roger and I got together, and he said that, you know, let's take your hobby to the next level. And then we really got into making like kit wines. So we would do like Merlot and Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Noir, and we would make those. And he's like, well, it's all about scale. So we hired some consultants, and we were looking for the perfect location, which we found in Center Valley.
So with that fermentation, so when you see the bubbles in the airlock, you like that, huh?
It is very cool. And actually, I started with balloons. And so you put the balloon over the carboy and you make sure it's tight, but then it would just blow up huge. And you need a little tiny pinhole at the top to let the gases come out. But it's like watching a science project. It was incredible. I just loved it.
So you transitioned from kind of this hobby that started scaling. Kind of what was the impetus that said, you know, we're going to get some property in the Center Valley, Veracruz area?
So when we met and became husband and wife, I have a farming background, and I've always wanted to get out of the corporate life and get back to the roots. So this let both of us do our hobbies, me planting the grapes, growing and tending to that, and then Julie making the wine and just the hospitality that she's so great at. We went out, we looked at a couple properties, and we were supposed to be out looking at another property, made a wrong turn, got lost, and stumbled across this, and the terrain was good, very Tuscany feel. So it checked all the boxes where I could do farming, gardening, and Julie loves the garden as well. We saw the vision with the bank barn, two-story bank barn, to turn that into our winery and tasting room.
And event space.
And event space.
Yeah, yeah. Event space, because we also do weddings out there too, and showers and all that kind of stuff.
I think maybe that's something that not a lot of people realize when they go to a winery, whether it's in the Lehigh Valley or beyond, that they see it as one business, but it's actually three.
Yeah.
It's
or
farming,
yeah.
It's hospitality, and then it's also the actual craft of winemaking.
Right.
Tell me a little, I mean, we talked about the property. From a topography and soil standpoint, how does that work for you in terms of growing grapes there?
The multi-level terrain, and we're facing east, which makes it perfect because we're arid, which the grapes need, and the plants themselves, the canes, need the air circulation. The soil was a little too rich, so with our plantings, we actually add stone and sand to help with the drainage, because with the grape plant, the water just needs to pass by. You don't want it sitting. Like with a potato plant. Potato plant needs a gallon of water a day. Grapes don't need anything like that. So,
and this particular property that we found had multiple springs all over the property. There's just water everywhere. So we had to do a lot of water management on the property to divert it away from the vineyards. And I mean, we don't have typically dry summers, but even our dry summers here don't necessarily hurt the crop or our grape plants.
And this year was a good dry summer. We did a test field, 2 acres, when we first bought the property. The Muscadines, favorite.
Niagara
did well.
All the whites.
We did, yeah, all the sweeter whites did real well. We did try some Syrah planted, maybe like 4 dozen canes, and about half of them have been doing well. The other half just didn't, you know, died out. But we have a large deer population. So over the next couple years, we will plant 25 to 30 acres. But I got to fence it in first, because otherwise we're just throwing good money after good
Again.
Money. And the deer love it. The deer love wine.
They were instrumental in our harvest last year. Yeah, very instrumental in completely putting everything into dormancy for us. Big thanks for the deer. Yeah, I hate deer. Bambi can die.
Yeah. Well, in addition to the land there, there was a farm building on the property, right? Mm-hmm. A barn?
Yep, a bank barn.
And what have you done with that?
Well, it's the 1850s bank barn. It was put there by the Moyer family before we bought the property, obviously, and also the 1901 farmhouse. So we turned the bank barn into our loft tasting room area. And then the lower part we had is the main tasting area. So you can come in into the lower part and transition up to the upper part. We also have tons of patio seating. We turned the JCC pool into a pond with over 1,000 fish now, and it's all completely spring-fed. So the barn was, like, originally was the equestrian farm barn where the horses and the hay was kept, and now we've turned it into our tasting room, and it's beautiful. 1850s, and the architecture's amazing.
Well, even though you're just kind of over the hill on the Mayus, I know when you kind of look off to the east, it feels like it's rural, mm-hmm. like you're out in the country, even though you're only like a mile or so away from quote-unquote civilization, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky. I mean, I would like to say we're brilliant, but it's not. God had his hand in that one, mm-hmm. Designing the area. And it is, like you said, it's a beautiful view looking out over the east down the valley. And then with this time of year with the leaves changing, it's a great view. We did put a deck around the back. That kind of wraps around so people can go out with the nice weather, like this past weekend, just sit out and just enjoy the pond, the leaves changing.
The view of the entire valley.
Yeah. So before we start talking about maybe wine and food and hospitality, let's talk about your new location in Easton, on Center Square, right?
Yeah, actually, Easton is where we started our journey to begin with. Roger and I, when we first got together, we looked in Easton, and there was a four-story building that we just loved. We thought, oh, we'll do the four different floors, we'll do a red wine level, a white wine, and we're like, you know what, it's going to be $1 billion. We cannot do this. So then we found, literally a week later, we found Center Valley. That's where we started, and then we had our second anniversary here on August 1st, and Roger and I were kind of talking about, like, well, do you think we should maybe start looking at another location? And the first place we went to was Easton, and I pulled up LoopNet, and there was a red heart on the Fidelity Bank building, and I'm like, this is the place. And so he was away at the time. He got home on Friday. We saw it on a Saturday. We viewed it with the owners on that following Tuesday. We had the agreement signed within almost 2 weeks, because we just knew this was the perfect location, right on the center square, right by Skaggy's, the axe throwing place across from the Crayola factory. So
I still have my day job, so I was traveling, and our goal is to, with our license, we can have 5 locations. And we were talking second anniversary, time for a second location. And when I got back from Indianapolis, she goes, I found a place. So we went and we looked at it, and it was Infidelity was great. They moved out early because they already had their second their new location, but they moved out early so we could get in and do changes, painting, tearing up the floor, put down wood flooring. And so, yeah, it was a quick turnaround, 45 days.
And I said tasting room, but there's more than wine there, right?
Yeah, there's more than wine. We actually have a beautiful sensory room where you can come in and do aromas and test your aromas for the individual wines. We're going to teach people about how wine is made, where the grapes come from, about what grapes go into what wine and what blending is and why we decant wines. And just the one room is going to be dedicated to basically education about wine. We have a shark shop, which is where all of our swag is. We have a cute little kitchen in there that we serve, like, grazing boards and charcuteries. And then we have our wine vault. That's actually the vault from the bank. So the reinforced floors, thank goodness. And then we have a barrel room that we have in towards the back that used to be the bank's conference room that we can have for a rentable space for small group gatherings.
Well, it seems like a good fit in Easton, which has kind of become a foodie capital from not just the farmers market and the public market, but all the great restaurants and breweries and everything in Easton. So it seems like a good fit for you all.
It really is.
And everybody there, from the city's ambassadors that go around and make sure the streets are clean, the other businesses have all stopped in and introduced themselves. And it'll be a good fit, a great community, great people.
Even the fellow wineries down there, like Cellar Beast and Clever Girl, they all came around and said hello. And I'm like, we want to do a collaboration with, like, me doing a wine walk or do something, because it's not only turned to be a foodie, but it's kind of like a wine district also, because we got the Eastern Wine Project, we got the Cellar Beast, we've got Tap, and we've got, you know,
Clever Girl.
And yes, so, I mean,
let alone the wine list at Cabinet.
I mean, which is amazing. So we can maybe work together and help each other to promote each other. It's all about the community and the wine community for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about the wines that you're making now. Some of the ones, I think, with the grapes that you're growing, and then some with some of the grape juice that you bring in.
Right.
So when we started, we did our research, the demographics, the competition, for lack of a better term. But we wanted to stay traditionalist. So we wanted to stay with the Syrah, the Merlots. When you read the label, you knew what grape, what wine it is. We'd also, so we have 31 varieties right now. We have three port types that we've been playing with for the last 3 years, and it has come out really great.
Mm-hmm. We have our barreled line. We also have our heritage line, which is going to have a lot more fuller body wines, a little more distinctive wines on our heritage line. Three of them just most recently won 2 gold medals and a silver medal. So our Viognier won a silver medal in the Sommeliers International Choice Awards, and our Syrah won a gold, and our Tempranillo won a gold. That's an international competition. We're really super happy about that. Yeah. And then we have what we call our main line. Our main line has got at least 10 whites and 10 reds, and that's what we do all of our tastings on. Yeah. We stick towards the drier wines versus the sweeter wines. We have maybe one or two sweet wines, but we are definitely more in the dry playground.
Okay. Yeah. So the Muscadines are the lit with the sparkling. So we have 3 sparkling as well. Grunewald liner, which is a Prosecco style, Rosé Cuvier, and then a sweeter...
Dolce Frizzante, which is the one that we created, which is a little bit sweeter, like sweeter champagne, but not champagne. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you have another winemaker on board helping you out? Or you? Okay. So yeah. I think it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, actually. So we brought Dominic Bosch on quite early on in the process, because while I felt like I was great at making wines, I wasn't, but he was amazing. So he took all of our wines and brought them to a whole nother level of spectacular. So he is our full-time winemaker on the property.
He came full-time. We used him as a consultant earlier on, and then March of this year, we brought him on full-time. So 100%.
Great. You mentioned Easton, that you have a small kitchen there, but you also are serving food in the Center Valley location too, right?
Yeah, so we actually have a little bit more expanded menu in the Center Valleys, where we're offering flatbread pizzas. We're offering some braised pork products, like braised pork sliders and like King Cuban sliders. So we have some other options that are more protein-driven. Everything that we basically get, it is coming in prepackaged, and we are doing an assembly of it, because we're not a restaurant. We never wanted to be a restaurant, but we do want to offer something for our guests to enjoy while they're out, because we do not allow any outside food or beverage. Even the emotional support Stanley Cups, we don't allow in, because it only took one person to ruin it for everybody. So
you never know what's in those things.
Right. Yeah. Typically it's vodka. So the answer is hard no and a pass. And people have been not so happy that we said, I'm sorry, go put it in your car or pour it out.
Right.
But I mean, we can't take that chance. And we almost were burned once and not again.
Right. You're dog friendly though, right?
Yes. Oh yes, dog friendly at Center Valley for sure. We are not permitted to bring in animals into the 46 location. That's a health license.
Regulation, our primary out in the Center Valley, over across from Emmaus, is pet friendly. Come in, and we have 4 of our own that come out several times, and customers have asked to let the dogs out.
Release the Krakens.
The Krakens, and they come out and they do it. It's like SeaWorld. They do a show in the pond.
Every hour on the hour. They get in, they dive for rocks and fetch sticks and everything, and people love it. So we've had a lot of compliments on that. And people bring their dogs, and as long as they're dog friendly and on a leash, they can get in and swim too and have a good time.
Well, that sounds like good entertainment, but I remember there being on a Friday or Saturday, you have live music too?
Yes. Yep. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, actually, in both locations. We have live music that goes from on Friday and Saturday from 5 until 8, and Sunday from 3 to 6. So that'll be in both locations at those time slots.
Well, I know it's a little early to ask this question since you just opened in Easton, but kind of what's in the future?
Another location.
Definitely.
Yeah. We would like to expand into a like-minded town like Easton. So we're looking, we're always looking, but it's got to be the right place, the right fit, the right demographic. So there's not just a whim of going into it. We were already in love with Easton before that, because we did our research back 5 years ago, so.
And our goals are, Julie's very high energy and just brings it to us. So our goal is one new place a year until we hit the 5. But again, the demographics, the area, has to be, we have an outline of what we look for, so we're looking forward to it. But we also want to take our time this next year to get really in the thread of Easton and just be part of the woven community. So far it's been great. I mean, residents are coming in and introduce themselves, or they're out walking their dogs and just have been watching the progress over the 45 days. We had a gentleman who is an architect that has his office across the way, and he came in yesterday and goes, I've been watching you guys. You guys have been going nuts. They just want to come in and see. But there's a lot that we have to do, and we want to do it right. because you only really get the first time to do the impression that you want to put out there. So, and it's set up in Easton where people will come in and they can kind of feel like they're in their living room, but they're being served by our staff. So,
but and I think 1 a year is a little ambitious, after, especially after this one for the Easton, because we were like nonstop. So I would like to see maybe every 2 years that we add one on. So I'll try to reel in that horse when that time comes.
Well, I'll let you two figure that out. And, that's right, yeah. And we'll watch it from the outside.
That's right.
And how can people stay up to date with what you're doing, website and social media handles?
We do have a website, which is stonefarmcellarsandvineyard.com. We haven't got a website up yet for the 46. We literally just opened on Wednesday, right in the midst of, you know, Garlic Fest. So we haven't got that far yet because 45-day turnaround, just we haven't had time. We'll update all of that on our website as well as on Google and that kind of stuff. So we'll update everything.
Yeah, we do Instagram.
Instagram.
Yeah. Well, Julie and Roger, thanks for joining us here at WDIY.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having us. It's great.
I'm Mike Dravenstot. This is The Inside Dish.